This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with two birds on a bat with Jim, Steve, and Fish.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Andre Lottis! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals are! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I want to welcome in my co-host, Steve Owen Fish. What do you say, fellas?
Hey, I got to interrupt you before you get going on something. So I get a call. We're all in here together doing the show.
Yes, we are.
So we all do other podcasts,
sure.
Right, for Lineup Media Group.
Sure.
And I get a call yesterday from a fraternity brother who got on and checked out the whole, you know, portfolio that we have on there, and he listened to Little Bleacher Bums and my cow. He's a huge Cowboy fan,
right?
Cowboy podcast, and he says that the intros to our shows are the most professional. He's a big podcast guy, he swears by them, but the intros to our shows are the most professional and best he's ever heard. So, shout out to Brian over there, man. He does an amazing
on
job.
Cue. Producer Brian stands up and takes a bow, as he should.
Hey, he's really the only guy in this room working.
I was going to say. Or has any talent
they
whatsoever.
They may get to hear us, but he's the only guy actually doing anything.
Listen, well, it's a 10:30. If it was 11:15 and I had a pizza sitting in front of me, it'd be like lunchtime for me. It'd be a normal day.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. But, and that is, you know, again, we've had a lot of nice compliments, guys. I mean, I know I do the majority of the social media for the show, and you guys help out a lot. But the reality of it is some of the stuff that we get back from Cardinal fans everywhere is they love the intro. I think our fans really appreciate the fact that we're just fans. I mean, you know, nobody in this room is claiming to be right. We're not claiming to be perfect, except for Fish. Sorry, Fish, I'm just having some fun with you. But the reality is we are fans just like you. We love our Cardinals. We get mad at them just like a family member. We want more. We want this. We want that. We all have a difference of opinion, but that's what makes this great. And this is our opportunity to bring that to you just to spark some conversation. Right. So
what makes this great. It's because those guys out there that are listening today thinking, well, that Fish is an idiot. I love it. That's what it's all about. We got different opinions. Let's let them go.
And on that note, I want to tell you guys it's been well received. I know we talked about it in one of our meetings we had when we were, you know, we're always trying to improve the show. So we say, and we want to walk the walk, talk the talk, so talk the talk, walk the walk. So basically, guys, this is your show. That we do it for the fans, right? We are asking, who wants to come on and talk baseball with us? Because let me tell you something. When I get on Twitter, and guys, we're up to over 800 followers in a very short amount of time, and we're growing every day, and we're out there looking for you. So if you are a Cardinal baseball supporter and you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Birds on a Bat Show. Very simple. Follow us because we want to know what you want to talk about. Here's the deal. If you want to be on this show and for 10 minutes and just talk Cardinal baseball, come on here basically to say your piece. Like, hey, I listen to you guys, and I know you want to go get this guy. He's terrible. We don't need him. Or I heard you say that there's nothing wrong with Rosenthal. Whatever, or you're a Matheny, whatever it is. If you want to come on here and be heard and state your opinion, because at the end of the day, guys, that's all they are. It's supposed to be fun. We are going to allow you the opportunity to come on here and do that.
Right, and my whole point to the start of the conversation was that Lineup Media Group has put together an unbelievable facility. I mean, this guy who listens a ton of podcasts says, he goes, most of the guys go out and buy some cheap equipment. It sounds all scratchy. It's you know, there's no intro. There's no nothing, and they die out. I'm here to tell you, we got some legs going here on all of our podcasts, and they're here to stay. But it's one of those things where it's a great studio, it's professional, but we're just a couple of fat, old, out-of-shape guys that are talking baseball from a fan's perspective. And my buddies call me, he goes, you're the only podcast that I sit there and I actually interact with talking to the podcast, the radio. You know, he's talking back to his radio as he's listening because, you know, we're dumb shits. You know, I'm sitting there trying to remember Martin Gramatica's name the other day. I couldn't remember who the guy was, and there was a Robert Smith, and I, you know, it's just blanking. We're just like you guys. Our opinions most of the time probably suck and are dead wrong, but this is probably what 90% of the guys or gals do out there every time they're sitting around the water cooler, the dinner table, having a beer at the bar. They're talking like this, so get involved with us. Because it'll be worth your time. We bring people on the Cowboys podcast all the time.
Well, and we've got guys that have been kind enough to DM me through the social media, through the tweet that I sent out, that are going to be great guests on the show, I assure you. Gotten some great messages back, people that really enjoy the show. And, again, that's why we do it. You know, to your point, Lineup Media Group, lineupmedia.fm, make sure you check it out, has been great to us. I know that I feel... You know, let's face it, we're three everyday Cardinal fans that do other jobs and do this other kind of stuff, and we have the ability to come in here. And I will tell you that it reminds me, like I said, Benji Molina, friend of the show, who I've gotten to know through something else and agreed to be a part of this and help us out. You think about Benji, he's been on ESPN sets, he's traveled all over the world, he's done all this. I remember picking him up at his hotel and thinking that I was proud that when I was bringing him back here that I was going to bring him back to this setting and not – and listen – if I would have been doing this in my basement and it would have been mine, I'd have been just as proud. But the reality of it is it's a very professional environment here. The quality of the equipment and everything allows us to bring you this great show. And, again, you guys are listening, so we do appreciate it. You're sharing the show. Whatever it is you're doing, just keep doing it because we want to be part of your Cardinal fabric. Whatever it is you're doing to discuss the show, that's what it's all for. So, having a Benji Molina on, having a Mark Little come on and talk about his experience the day he got called up when Mark McGwire hit his 62 – obviously, that lends a little legitimacy to our show. I mean, we have the ability to get some of these guys on here. And we are committed to reaching out to some of the people that are out there that have great things to say about Cardinal baseball that you want to hear. And really, at the end of the day, spark some conversation.
Absolutely. So, once again, great stuff happening at lineupmedia.fm. Check it out. If you like podcasts, there's something out there for everybody. But let's get into a little bit of baseball talk, bud.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Go ahead, Fish. It looks like...
Yeah, I got to say this
go ahead.
Your buddy Tony La Russa has always said we're tied for first. So I'm sitting here thinking, hey, look, it's not so terrible. The start of next year is going to roll around, just like hockey has on us. I mean, it's here.
Yeah, it's here.
It's going to roll around. We're going to be right there, back there throwing balls, hitting balls. And the first thing I thought of is, hey, we're tied for first.
Well, we are going to be
even
tied
with
for
the Cubs.
Not right now, though, because we're still sitting on the outside looking in, which is not something we're looking forward to, not something we're used to doing. But we're going to have to do it here for the next month or so, and just watch it unfold and think about now's the time to think about both what could have been, but to Fish's point, it looks like we've moved on from some of the things that had people really upset, and we're starting to think more about next year, starting to think about the improvements. Mo and Matheny have had their press conference. They fired a couple of the old proverbial shots across the bow. They've given us that this is what our intentions are. We've had the thing that I felt was uncharacteristic. They kind of came out early and said, I don't think we're going to re-sign Holiday. They basically, in not so many words, they haven't backed themselves into a corner with Jaime Garcia yet, but boy, it don't look good for them to hang on to him. Same thing with Brandon Moss. They haven't backed themselves in a corner with him, but they've given it the old, yeah, we have interest, but at what cost? So they've given themselves, you know, but that's why, see, that tack they took with Garcia and Moss is what they typically do. So the fact that they so early come out with the Holiday thing, I thought was interesting.
So let me throw in here, because we didn't discuss this in our little morning meeting, so this may surprise you or be something you weren't expecting, but do the Cardinals have the nucleus where we sit today to tweak a few of these changes, maybe Moss, maybe Garcia, pick someone up, maybe a leadoff hitter or something? Do we have the nucleus to make this thing happen next year? Or are we just... not. Are we going to come back with the same thing?
Well, you know what? That is the question of the moment in Cardinal Nation. That is the exact sentiment of Cardinal fan everywhere. you know, the whole, what are we going to do? What do we need to do? Now, we as Cardinal fans are all passionate. We all have our own opinions. But for everybody out there that's listening, we're so fortunate on this show to have the ability to bring in a guy that's been there, done that. And you know what's interesting, and this is why I think we love him, is because, you know, he did play. He did play at a high level. He does happen to be the brother of our current Cardinal and future Hall of Famer, in my opinion, Yadier Molina. He brings both the quote-unquote expert opinion, but he also brings the fan opinion. So, yes, without hesitation, let's go to our newly sponsored call-in line, the M4. The M4 by Yachty.com hotline. It's the great apparel that our own Yadier Molina has created for Cardinal fans, for baseball fans really everywhere, especially fans of the Molina family. You can be, you know, everything they've done with Jose and Benji, but we're proud to welcome them on as a sponsor in the call-in line here. So no better person to bring in on that line than our own baseball and Cardinal expert, Benji Molina. Benji, how we doing?
Good, good. How you guys doing? Thank you for having me again.
No, no, absolutely. And special thanks out to your family and Yachty with the M4 call-in line. Our hope is to send everybody there. The apparel's great. I see you guys wearing it all the time. The first thing when I told Steve-O that we were going to be doing the M4 call-in line, of course, in Steve-O fashion, it was, I got to have an M4 hat. I got to have one.
Dude, that stuff's tight. It's tight. I love it.
Hey, I spent my whole life not
They're so cool, man. They're so cool, for real.
Yep.
Not being able to play like a baseball player, but trying to look like one.
Well,
so
I'll tell
right
you
here
what,
we go.
If you want to look good,
look like one.
If you want to look good, you've got to go to M4byYachty.com. That stuff is tight. So Benji, we need some help here. We are obviously we just spent a little time making sure that the fans know that we're fans and we love what's going on. Like on Twitter right now, Cardinal Nation is kind of moved past a little bit the I'm not going to say anger, but obviously frustration of not making it into the playoffs. We're used to making it. So first off, before we move past that, what are your thoughts on kind of where did we fall short, Benji? I mean, not to ridicule guys, not to pinpoint any one particular thing, but where did we fall short?
You know what? First of all, I got to add something to what you said. The problem here is that you guys are used to getting the playoffs. That's the problem. You know, the problem wasn't making it because how many other teams don't make it every year? How many other teams are used to not making it? And that's the problem, though, that you guys are used to, and it's a good thing to get used to. The thing is that tells you how hard it is to make it to a playoff, especially when you have a young team that's hot, you know, like a Cubs or, you know, and you fight all these teams that are really good, you know, the Giants and whoever it was. But at the same time, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard to make it to the playoffs. But you know what? One thing that I saw, they lost a lot of games on a defensive side. Not necessarily pointing fingers. I'm just saying in general. They lost games that they were supposed to win by defense. And obviously everybody saw the pitching, how it was. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't great. You know, it was good. It wasn't great. You know, like normally they are. So our emphasis, the defense will be great. The defense will be big in the offseason. But I also would add a couple arms. You know, if you have a guy getting paid that much money and he's not producing in your pitching staff or something, you need to move your chips, man. You need to move them around. I think pitching is always a concern. A starter that goes 6-7 almost every single time, so you can save your bullpen. I think those are the main two. They struck out a lot. That's one thing I will emphasize too. Like, get more guys to put the ball in play, or I don't know how to do it. Obviously, I'm a fan like everybody else, but that's what I would go for. I mean, they struck out so many times that, and they had a great year offensively. You know, I'm not saying they didn't. They had a great year offensively, but they, you know, at the end, you know, you notice that the strikeouts and things like that. So that could be a couple of things that you can emphasize.
Well, you know, you brought up the defense, which they've already come out and said that they know they need to address. Defense is such an important part of the game. Games are won and lost that way. It's not as sexy as hitting or pitching because those are the stat lines. Those are the very first things we always go to look at. Errors is one of the last things we look at. There's a category that's never in the box score, and that's plays not made. There were typically games, and you brought it up. I think we as Cardinal fans, and it's okay. I don't think it's not a bad thing, but the reality of it is we are spoiled. We are spoiled. We do feel like it's a rite of passage for us to be in the playoffs each and every year. I think you brought it up, no doubt about it, that it's hard to do. But Cardinal fan is also prides itself on being educated and knowledgeable about the game. It's not too hard to talk about exactly what you said, and we can all find a game in our mind. Because, listen, we lost by one game by getting in, and we can all find a game in our mind where it was either an error or a play not made, and gosh, if we just do that, we're right there.
Exactly, and you're right, Jim. I mean, if you can find one game or two games in this case, because two games would have got you in the playoff, one game would have got you the tie. So if you find two games from April to almost October, two games, you know, and if you find that, you guys are in. So that, with that being said, you know, everybody understands the Cardinal way. Everybody understands that they got to go back to the Cardinal way, you know. And the Cardinal way is not striking out a lot. The Cardinal way is not making a lot of errors as a group. That's not the Cardinal way. And so I think in my head, they need to go back to it. You know, they need to go back to putting the ball in play, making sure they catch the ball, they throw the ball, and they'll be fine, you know.
Hey, Benji, this Fish. You know, it's been forever.
Hey, Fish.
Hi, how you doing today? It's been forever.
Good, man.
Thank you. It's been good. It's been said forever. You know, you got to be good pitching. You got to be good defensively to compete. We agree with that. But I really like the strikeout angle because the Cardinals were absolutely terrific in games that they scored runs and scored runs big, which generally happens. But they had those games in abundance. The problem is when you reach some high strikeout totals, it becomes hard to be consistent. It becomes hard to win the 3-2 game when you're striking out a lot. Now, they had no problem winning the 10-8 games. They won all those. But when you come down to the 3-2, 2-1 games, when you have that many strikeouts, it's tough to win those games. And I think the strikeout...
You're exactly right, buddy. Yeah, you hit it. You hit it right on the top. It's so easy to win when you're hitting. But when you're in a tight situation, when you're in a playoff or you're in a tight game, 2-1, 1-0, you got to get the guy over from second, or you got to bunt him over, or you have to play a hit and run that you have to make the play, or a double play that is, it was supposed to be a double play, and all of a sudden you get a bubble or whatever, then those games, like you said, those games are the key. Those are the ones that I want to be prepared for. The ones that we win 10-8, hey, man, we hit. You know, we have fun with those, but... Once 2-1, 3-2, like the other day, the Reds game that we had men on third with nobody out, you know, and all of a sudden we couldn't score. You know, those type of games, that's what tells you, you know, what you need. That's what tells you, open your eyes, this is what you need, buddy.
Hey, Benji, it's Steve-O here. So a quick question for you, and I'm going to get a little bit more specific because I like the defensive side of the ball. And I mean, the old adage is you have to be strong up the middle. Obviously, we have Yachty behind the plate. We know from what Mo and DeWitt are saying is they're going to be looking for probably a center fielder for sure, and moving probably Grichik over to the left side, keeping Piscotty in right. But I'm going to go to shortstop. Is Diaz a Major League Baseball shortstop, or do we need to find him a different position? Because obviously from the offensive side, he's going to be there. I mean, great. But defensively, can he improve to be a major leaguer defensively, or is that something where we're looking at moving him over to second or third? Or what do you look at shortstop for us?
Well, I will tell you this. I will give him one more year in short just because my reason is because – Okendo'll be back, you know, he'll be back on the field with them, and I'll give him that chance. I'll give him the chance to him working with Okendo every day and see if he can fix him, you know, a little bit, you know, catch the ball a little. I don't know. Whatever they have to do with him, I will give him one more year or one more try And if anything happens with that, dude, I'll put him at third base. I'll put him at third base and let Carpenter maybe play second. You guys don't have a first baseman set yet either, so he puts everybody out there to play first. So it's not like you have one. So I think if you want to go that way, I mean, Wong needs to play too, you know. I think the more he plays, the better he gets, I guess. I think you can give him one more year and maybe see what happened when Oquendo is around, and maybe he can help him out, you know?
Well, you bring up an interesting thing there that we've talked about on the show since we started it, is the Oquendo defensive side of it. Now, what interests me is, and probably I don't know if a lot of fans think about this, but what does that look like when Oquendo's working with him? When is it? How is it? Are they going down to Jupiter together for, you know, a couple of months during the off season? How do they work out before the games? What is this kind of work that Oquendo's doing with him? I know he's going to work on the baseball skill set, but when does that happen, and how much work do they put in?
Well, actually, it's a lot of work. I mean, you're right. They go in the off season and they probably go for a couple weeks, see how he is, how he's moving, maybe 3 weeks. He'll have him on his own like he did with Pujols and Yadi. He might have him over there getting them ready. But I'm not trying to take anything away from the coaches this year or anything. They did a heck of a job for sure. But I'm going to tell you this, man. I think it should be the presence, you know, his presence, the way he presents, the way he goes out there, the way he doesn't. I mean, I was there with him when he was an unbelievable strict. I mean, he wasn't no joke. He wasn't joking. Whenever he saw the infielders make like he called it, this ain't winter ball. He will yell at him, this ain't winter ball. You catch the ball, you throw the ball. That's all we do here. And he'll yell at him. And I mean, they know that he's there. You know what I mean? That he's a guy that he's respected, and he knows his stuff. Plus, I'm going to tell you this, people don't give him credit. He lined them up to make the better play. You know what I mean? Like, if the guy has two strikes and he feels him and Yadi always connected, and he'll look at Yadi, and Yadi will tell him, hey, I might call a slider here. He knows he'll move the guy over to be closer to the ball where it's going to be hit. So not having Oquendo there, it hurts, you know, because Yadi cannot tell anybody, hey, move the first baseman down the line or move the second baseman towards second base because I'm asking for a changeup and that ball might go there. You know what I mean? That connection there probably hurt the Cardinals this year on the defense. But I think as soon as that guy comes back, I think they're going to improve, of course. But you know, that's my point of view.
Great stuff. We're here with Benji Molina, former big leaguer and brother of current Cardinal Yadier Molina, on the M4 call-in line. That's M4 by Yadi.com. Make sure you check it out. Benji, I think we're all in agreement here that the defensive side of the ball is going to have to be improved. I like you, although he started off really slow, I felt like he got better, although, you know, we still saw a couple plays not made. But I think there's a lot of moving parts to this. So to your point, I think you can give Diaz another year at short. I think a lot of it's going to depend on who they can get. Like, sometimes it's easy for us to have this wish list. If they get their top target, well, then obviously it works out. If they were to find a great shortstop or find a great center fielder, I think they get them and they put them there. If not, if it's something else that falls in their lap that fills another need, I think they could put Grichik back in center. They could leave Diaz at short. It may not be their first choice, but I wouldn't say it's like earth-shattering. One of the guys that I wanted to get your take on that Cardinal Nation here seems to have found as a target, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not so sure where this came from because I think he's an unbelievable talent. I just can't believe they would trade him to us. And that's a guy in your neck of the woods where you live that you're probably somewhat familiar with, and that's A.J. Pollock. I find him to be one of the young up-and-coming stars in center field in the game. If he was available and the Cardinals could get him, what's your thoughts on A.J. Pollock?
I think he's an exciting player, man. He's just finding his way. The first couple of years was tough for him. I don't know if he got hurt or something. But he was tough for him. He couldn't hit much at the times I saw him. But I tell you what, man, he's an exciting guy. He's awesome. I think he'll be a good fit. He will be probably what you guys need at center and actually in the top of the lineup. You guys have Carpenter out there. Carpenter, I love Carpenter. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a big fan of Carpenter. But we got to be realistic here. Carpenter can hit and can play a couple positions. But Carpenter on the bases is not going to make a change. He's not going to make a difference. He's not going to. I don't care. He's not going to steal bases. He's not going to lead away from the bag from 2 feet. And he's not going to get the extra base unless it's a play that he can make it. But having this guy on the lineup now is different. Now you got a guy that steals bases. You got a guy who runs down balls out there. Not that Grisha can do it, but you got that different mentality. You got somebody that can move around in the bases. You know, I think that's a big pick about Diaz. It would be really hard for that kid after all he's been through, trying to make it back up to the big leagues. And doing a good job, even though he got a lot of errors. Even that, having a good year offensively and picking up many, many games of Cardinal games victories. I mean, it will be really, really heartbreaking if they take him out. You know what I mean? At this point.
See, hey, Benji, we think over here, I think we're of the mindset that Carpenter puts no pressure on the defense. Now, we love Carpenter. But we think he's a 2, 3, or 5 guy. To lead him off, as you said, he gets on. There's no added pressure on the defense. Now, we just talked about how important his defense is. Put some pressure on him. Give us a guy up there that could steal a base, that can go from first to third on a base at the right or something. And we don't really seem – I love Carpenter, but we don't seem to have that with him at the top. The other thing I want to say real quick
is – No, we don't. He's not a top. I don't think he's a top. I think he's a 3, 4, 5, like you said. I think he's an RBI guy. I think he's doing a good job of getting on base and all that. He can get on base hitting third. I'll take sure. that. I'll take him hitting fourth or whatever, hitting fifth. I'll take him getting on base back then. We need guys to get on base. That's fine. But somebody needs to work with him in spring training because I tried. I tried to talk to him, and I said, hey, man, listen, you got to get off that bag because you got to get off to second base to break up a double play, or you have to get to first and third on a ball that is questionable. But you could have made it if you had a couple more steps. Things like that. So, and it makes a difference in the game.
Is he also capable of doing that, though?
Yeah.
Does he have the speed to do that? I'm just wondering if Carpenter's the kind of guy that's capable of, you know, he really don't have that natural speed. We really need a different guy up there.
I think he has the speed once he gets going. He might not have the best starting time, you know what I mean? Like the best push right out of the gate. But he's a big boy. He got long strides. And I seen him run first to home that, you know, he made it easy. But he doesn't have that first step. He's not a stealing, you know, stealing bags or something like that guy. But they need to work on him. They need to for sure tell him, hey, listen, you got to get off this bag. You got to make us, you know, you got to make the pitcher aware that you're going to go somewhere maybe, you know, things like that. I think that's what's going to make a difference. But again, like you say, he's not that type of player, and I don't know what the Cardinals are thinking of him in that way, you know?
Hey, help me along here, too, because I'm thinking there's a lot of options in this outfield thing with Grigich and all this. But at shortstop, I think you got to play Diaz another year. What viable option do you have? It's not going to be Peralta to me. You know, it's not going to be Jerko. And I like both those players, but I don't think they're our shortstop. I think it's got to be Diaz for at least another year. And then you talk about moving a Jerko or Carpenter or one of those guys to first base, giving Colton Wong some time at second base. I think you got to play Diaz short. I don't see an option.
You have to. In my opinion, for real, Fish, I think you have to play Diaz. Diaz is a great athlete. He's a great athlete. He's a 5'2 guy. Maybe the defense it doesn't show. You know, like you guys say, he should have made this play, he should have made that play. Yeah, I understand that. But look around. He has a cannon for an arm. He runs well. He really, really runs well. He can steal bags. He can go out there and hit for power. He give you 300. He give you RBIs. He give you 70 RBIs. He hurt. I mean, come on, man. I don't think there's a question of giving him another year and just let Oquendo work with him and see what happens. And like you said, if he doesn't work out, and you have a better option, that's another thing. If you're going to get him out of there, you better come up with a better option. You're going to put somebody less than him, and then we're struggling.
He is the option. I think you'll do well there. And I also don't think that he was that horrific at shortstop either. I don't.
Well,
no, I think he did good. I mean, obviously, he should have made a bunch of more plays and things like that. But we'll give him the chance to work with Okendo and see if he improves, you know. And then later on, if you can find somebody better, you know, that you know for sure is going to do the job, hey, then we'll try it. But if you don't have anybody right now, I think that's your best option.
Well, the thing is, too, Benji, and you know, forgive me if I'm wrong here, and I'm not trying to be the smartest guy in the room, but the reality of it is great defensive shortstops don't grow on trees, number one, and when people have them, they don't typically just give them away. So I don't know that we're going to have,
totally,
to your point.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that. And then when you have a shortstop that is as agile and as athletic as Diaz, there's no way to waste that. The only thing you have to work with him, you know, work with him and give him a lot of work and a lot of ground balls, maybe something to those hands or something like that, and then you work with him. That's the only thing you got to do, but you don't just let him go, you know?
No, you're right. And I think at the end of the day, he has to work out at shortstop because you have 17 games to make up to catch the Cubs. And when they walk into spring training, the number one goal is going to be win the Central Division. That's your number one goal that you have to meet. And you got to make up 17 games. And I just don't think that budget-wise they're going to be able to go out there and get the necessary pieces and spend the money because you need a center fielder, a top-of-the-lineup guy. You need some arm help. But so those guys that we currently have on the team are going to have to step up. And hopefully Okendo will be able to turn him into where – you know, not that he's going to be another Ozzie Smith, but that he's going to be another, you know, Johnny Peralta, where every play that you're supposed to make, you do make. So we got a lot of games that we have to make up.
Yeah, that's a lot of games, and you're right. And if they're thinking that way, well, at least they got 17, I think, millions away from Holiday. I don't know if they're going to sign Hybe back. I don't know how his situation is. But if they don't, they got some money there. And believe me, they do have the money to go get at least one more player for a couple of years or something like that, you know. The kid that I like was Martin Prado, even though he just signed with the 3-year deal with the Marlins. I love that guy, man. And I'm always in contact with Moreno and the Angels and the Texas Rangers, and they always call me for advice and stuff. So sometimes I just tell names, and that's one of the names that came up, but the Marlins didn't want to give him away. But I think that would be a perfect fit for the Cardinals.
So you're
talking about Cardinal Way.
You're telling us that we're just like Artie Moreno. We're calling for advice just like he is, right?
Yeah, of course. That's why we're here on the phone, right?
Hey, I wanted to throw this in here, too, because we're going to have Lance Lynn back. That should be a big help. He can throw some innings. And the other thing is I want to ask your opinion, Benji, on Reyes, because it looks like to me he's ready to go. He's ready to be one of them starters. Do you buy into that, or does he need a little bit more?
Oh, no, I don't know what else they need to watch. whatever, this kid is young. You guys understand that. This kid is very young, and he gave you the big games. He gave you the best of him right there on big games and big teams. What else do you need to watch? Send them to AAA to do what?
No, I didn't mean that.
Butter sandwiches?
I didn't mean that. I just meant he's ready to be one of the starters, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't think that he should go anywhere. I think he should stay here. He should stay and count with him as a third starter, maybe, the middle of the order, maybe before. Who knows, but if I was the St. Louis Cardinal, man, I would not let this kid go to minor leagues. You know, unless he needs, you know, comes out in spring training and he has an horrible one or, you know, whatever. But I would still put him up in every 5 days.
Well, that's the pitching help we need right there. Lance Lynn coming back and Ray is in the starting rotation. That looks pretty good to me. I mean, Martinez, Wainwright, Reyes,
yeah.
Lynn, that's pretty good starting four.
Well, then you got
Blackwood
in there.
I would go for it. You know, we need more out of league. and we need more out of Wainwright. You know, that's just the bottom line. If we're going to win the division, obviously Wainwright has to pitch a little better, and Leake for sure has to pitch a lot better. So that's the key. I think Martinez is going to be there. I think Reyes is going to do his best. He's going to be there. I don't know Jaime's situation. And then those guys are going to be awesome. They're going to do their job. And Lance Lynn, you don't know what to expect coming off an injury either. But at the same time, you have guys that can consistently win. Those are the guys you need, man. And I think that's the best way.
Well, you know, those are all things that are going to kind of sort themselves out over the next few months. For the players, and this is Benji, where you bring such an element to our show, and we can't thank you enough. But I think we as fans, now it is what it is for us. The season's over. Now we're watching other teams play. But from a player's perspective, and especially a guy like Yachty, who you had kind of mentioned on here that even though he was doing really well, the thumb was an issue. What do the guys do right now? Do they take some time off, let the body heal a little bit before they get back in it? I mean, what is a Yachty doing right now? Is he just like, man, my thumb needed a break? I mean, what do they do now?
Well, Yachty's a different cat. I always said it, not right now, but I always said it. He's a different boy. He's a different man. Right now, he's still working out like if he was playing. He gets up at 5 a.m. every morning, goes to run around the streets and go into a gym, work out for an hour and a half. Then he goes back up. Maybe the baseball stuff eases up, you know, like he doesn't do blocking or he doesn't do throwing or he doesn't squat that much, things like that, just to rest the legs. But he's a different cat. What I did when I was in the offseason, especially if I would have lost by one game, I didn't want no part of baseball. I was so upset that I would just sit down and watch whatever else is coming on, football or basketball, for a while just to get my head off from it. And then I'll put ice in my knees since I'm a catcher. I will put ice every day, 20 minutes, two times a day, 20 minutes at a time. And whatever's hurting, like you said, Yachty's hurting in his thumb. Well, I'll put my hand into a bucket of ice or something, you know. I will treat my injuries the first month or maybe first 3 weeks. And after that, I'll rest. I'll spend time with my family, take them to a vacation somewhere, and then head back to training. You know, people don't understand. We get eliminated in October, but we by November, late November, we're already in the field. We're already blocking balls. We're already training our arms to be ready for spring training. That's what people don't understand. We don't take that time off, you know. It's just that the only thing is that there's no game.
Well,
but other than that,
well, that's my approach to training.
Keep going in the gym.
Coach Cromer does the same thing with the 9-year-olds when we were coaching together. We got about a month off, and then it was back to practice. So
now that's not true,
hey, there
Benji.
There you go.
That's not true.
Hey,
okay. Hey, you know, real quick, I want to touch on the thumb. You know, obviously, I think some people forgot about the thumb a little bit with Yachty because the hitting was so good and all that kind of stuff. But you and I kind of talked off the air, and you don't talk about this during the season, but, you know, you would uncharacteristically see a ball just pop out of Yachty's glove. And, you know, like you said, kind of behind the scenes at that time, that thumb is still an issue. He's just doing everything he can to play through it. So, obviously, Cardinal fans can rest easy that, you know, there's going to be some time, and that thumb's going to, you know, that should be fine by spring training, should it not?
Yes, it should be all right. You know, at least close to 100%. The problem with us, that thumb is going to be fine, but the problem is when we get a foul ball or when we get a sinker that we're not supposed to catch that way, and all of a sudden it hits our thumb. Those are the problems that happens after. But it should be all right. People don't understand what this kid goes through the whole game. He catches for you guys so many games and being hurt. This is crazy. You saw how Yachty stopped the ball many times, and he couldn't even close the glove.
Hey,
I can relate. I catch, you know. I caught for many years, and I got those foul tips, and I didn't break my thumb. He broke his thumb.
And I
didn't.
I think you look at that.
I can even hardly imagine.
I guess Cardinal fans probably don't realize, like the normal fan, unlike the guys like me that play a lot of fantasy baseball, is most catchers out there are on some sort of platoon. I know the Colorado Rockies had three catchers for the last month of the season going, rotating, and Yachty's out there behind the plate every game. And we just don't, as Cardinal fans, we just get used to him. He's the guy that just pencil in the, you know, as a catcher position. But he did get a lot of work in, and, you know, we just – you know, we want that to continue. So I'm glad to hear he's out there working.
Steve-O, listen, he put that uniform. We talked about this last show. He put that uniform with so much pride every single day. You know how many kids and how many players out there takes day off just for because they got to bother? Yachty doesn't take a day off. So, of course, he's going to have a hard time. Of course, he's going to have a hard game once in a while because he plays 150 games.
Hey, he did something right, Benji, because he looked awfully good down the stretch. Benji played awfully well down the stretch. So, he's doing something right.
He did. Yeah, he did. And you know what? Anybody you can put out there and catch 145 games, but to do it in the high intensity or a high number guy like Yachty, keep getting hit after hit, you know, for a team to win and or blocking a ball or his presence behind the plate, they don't run too much, things like that. Whatever, man, you got a guy like that, you have to value that.
Hey, Benji.
You cannot pay a guy enough for that.
Hey, I got to throw this in there, and I know we're probably limited on time, but I tried to listen to some of your two Spanish-speaking broadcasts with the Cardinals that you just recently did. I didn't understand all of it, obviously, but it was. I could see the enthusiasm, or hear the enthusiasm. But when I got to see clips of the Cardinals when Yachty played so well, hit a double, hit a home run, and kind of got to look up at you, and it gave me a little bit of chills. How do you feel about that? It's kind of neat.
Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't know how to act, obviously, because, I mean, I was thinking about, the broadcasting and being in Spanish and how important it is for the Hispanic people. And when I was doing the game, I was trying to be a teacher because, remember, this is the first time in forever that they have a Spanish game. So I was thinking like a teacher. But when he hit that home run and then he pointed out at our booth, I mean, that's a dream come true.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no words. There's no words that I can explain how I felt. And then he ended up hitting that ground rule double winning deal. Man, I went crazy. I started yelling. I didn't know. I was like a kid. The guy kept going with the game calling and all that. I said, I don't care about the game calling, man. We won the freaking game, man. Let's go. You know, I was yelling like a little kid. It was awesome.
What do you think your dad would have thought of that?
If you have trouble with your heart, you shouldn't go through that, you know.
What do you think your father would have thought of that? I mean, I'm sure he's looking down on it. What do you think he'd have thought on that special moment?
He probably would have come up with something he did wrong. And you got to do this, you got to do that. And they're like, oh, yeah, you won, but you got to concentrate on tomorrow's game. Tomorrow's more important now. I think he would have been very, very excited, very happy. My dad was really proud of us in his own way. He's a very quiet guy until he got like two or three Coors Lights and Budweiser's. And then opened up, but he was a very quiet guy, man, and he was really proud. I mean, he probably crying in heaven when that happened.
Well, it's great stuff, Benji. You know, we can't appreciate your commitment to our show. It looks like I know we're going to let you, like all ball players at the end of the season, we're going to let you take a couple weeks with your family. But I'm proud to announce to everybody out there that after intense negotiations last night with Benji on the phone when I was talking to him, they were real intense, that we're going to be bringing you Benji's thoughts on our beloved Cardinals and Cardinal Nation, and we're going to be bringing him to you as part of Two Birds on a Bat each and every week. Special thanks to M4, the apparel company that your brother started. You know, that I know is very important to him. You know, we're going to...
Well, Jim, you should mention the M4 for Yachty, you know, and even if you buy this stuff, you're actually helping kids. You know, you're not just buying because it's Yachty stuff or M4 or whatever. By buying M4, you're helping kids. You know, you're also helping all the kids that are battered and you know, all his foundation and all that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's interesting that, you know, whereas it's obviously something fun that Yachty was doing with the M4. If you go on the website, again, guys, it's m4byyachty.com. It's interesting. He talks a little bit about why he did it, but the reality of it is that he uses a portion of the money made from these for all of his foundation stuff. I know at one time when I had Yachty on my other program, we had talked off the air. A lot of this money goes to like pediatric cancer and kids like that, and then all the stuff that he tries to do for back home in Puerto Rico. So it's a great thing that he's doing. He's having some fun with it. It's great where it's so Yachty. It's very colorful. It's interesting. It's not like just your boring everyday stuff. It basically gives you a little bit of insight into what Yachty thinks is cool looking and stuff like that. So if you're a fan of whether it be baseball, the Molinas, Yachty, or the whole Molina family, especially his proud heritage, his Latina heritage, without question, make sure you check it out. Again, that's M4. And that's the number 4, m4byyachty.com. Each and every week, Benji will be coming to you on the now newly named M4 Hotline. And, of course, Benji, we can't thank you enough. You basically bring a lot of legitimacy to just three everyday guys that are talking baseball.
Oh, no, thank you for having me, Steve-O, Fish, and you, Jimbo. Thank you for having me on your show. For me, it's a pleasure talking baseball. I don't care if it's to kids. I don't care if it's to fans. Grown ups, whoever. I love talking to baseball.
Well, hey, we appreciate you. You go take care. I know you're leaving on vacation for 2 weeks with your family. I know you got a big old 96-foot RV that you're going to take your family up the coast of California. You go enjoy yourself, and we will see you back here in the Lineup Media Studios when you get back. All right, my friend?
Thanks, Benji.
You got it, buddy. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Benji.
That's the great Benji Molina, former big leaguer, Gold Glove winner, World Series winner, and brother of current Cardinal great Yadier Molina. Kind enough to join us on the M4 Hotline. Don't forget, that's m4byyachty.com. Go check it out today. You know, that M4 thing, when I talked to Benji last night, guys, when we figured and got this all worked out, it was interesting because I was extremely excited about it because in St. Louis especially – it's interesting when a player starts wearing a cap or something and we see it and we like it. And we're like, ooh, what's that? When this M4 thing started, when you'd see Yachty would put pictures of himself wearing a hat, it's really cool gear. I mean, it is kind of interesting. So I encourage everybody to check that out. Again, they're going to be bringing Yachty or Benji in here each and every week and supporting the show. So guys, make sure you do that. But great stuff. And yeah. I think it was interesting, some of his takes. I think what's interesting is I think some of his takes, I don't know that that Cardinal Nation will agree with him 100%, which is fine, on, guys want better defense, they want this. But I think he's dead on about Diaz. I don't know. Again, if Ozzie Smith was available and you had the opportunity to get Ozzie Smith, well, sure, then I'll take Ozzie Smith and I'll move Diaz to another position. But I don't know that we're going to get that. I think a center fielder is more realistic. Cardinal, the way they've done it basically says they're going to probably get one. We're not going to get both.
Right.
So then we'll go from there.
Yeah, you have 17. My point was you got 17 games you have to make up. They're not going to go into spring training and go, boy, let's shoot for that second wild card position.
Yeah,
that's
no,
gonna
you
be
don't
great.
Do that. If you do that, you're crazy.
Right. They have to catch the Cubs. Okay? So you have 17 games to make up. Now, are the Cubs going to be as good as they were this year and win 103? Probably not.
But they could.
But they could.
They're built to do it.
But is 95 to 97 wins out of the question?
Heck no.
Heck no. So now all of a sudden you're looking at it and you go, okay, we got 10 games to make up. So Diaz getting a plus side on the defense is big. And getting a leadoff hitter that plays center field is probably the other thing that you look at. And then you can't rely on just having five arms. You got to get another arm in there.
Well, I will tell you that I told you guys I would come today armed with the guy I want. The guy I want is A.J. Pollock. I think he transforms that lineup. If one guy, and this is just my opinion, if there's one guy, I've seen a bunch of names, and some of them are fine ball players, and they all do something well. In my opinion, of all the guys that I've seen, and I want to preface this by saying I don't believe for 1 minute they're going to trade him. I don't believe that. But listen, I'm also a believer in where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay, I can't believe that name would surface unless they were willing to listen. Now, we might have to overwhelm them, but if there was one guy I was going to overwhelm somebody with an offer for, it would be this guy. Strictly because guys, go check him out, okay? Obviously, last year he had a bone injury, not an injury that's going to affect him long-term. I mean, he had a horrific deal happen at home plate, sliding into home, broke his elbow, okay? That's not a lingering deal, okay? The bottom line is he hits for power, he hits for average, he has a good OBP, he plays a great center field, he's got a good arm, and he steals bases.
Are you saying he's a 5-tool player?
I'm saying he's as close to a 5-tool player as we're going to get.
So, Jimmy, I'm not as good at this internet game and finding a guy I do want, so I don't have the answer yet, but I'm asking this. Throw this around in your head for a minute, listeners. What would this past year's Cardinal team look like with a real leadoff hitter?
Oh,
the way they hit. I mean, I love Carpenter, and he could play on any of the 30 big league teams. You know, he could play with everybody.
Right.
But a real leadoff hitter on this team, maybe Carpenter batting second, and you go move on down your line the way you want. How good would that team have looked?
To be honest with you, I think the only outlying thing that I don't know that there's a stat for, because it's hard to compare of a traditional leadoff hitter versus somebody else. I think the only reason that we, as Cardinal fan, besides the fact that we love Carpenter, and Carpenter basically says he wants to lead off, so we all want to support him, right? Well, he wants to lead off. You can't bat him anywhere else. No, I disagree with that. But the reality of it is, the outlier is, and there's no stat for it, is even though he doesn't run well, the only thing that you don't get out of him in the leadoff position is the stolen bases, right? And Benji discussed the fact that he's not going to, like, take a lot of extra bases. But the reality of it is, he always is at the top of the league in doubles. So what we typically see is the man is standing at second base, whereas what you're looking for out of a traditional leadoff hitter is a base hit, possibly finding a way to get to second. So the outlier there is he's been effective as a leadoff hitter, but I don't know that the way this team is going to be constructed that you can live with that much longer. Yeah, so it does give him a lot of flexibility.
But that don't put the same, as I said earlier with Benji, that don't put the same pressure on the defense.
I agree.
You get that really true leadoff style hitter that can steal a base, that can change the dynamics of the way a defense has to approach this, makes it different. Hey, what's wrong with getting a real leadoff hitter and this guy getting on an in Carpenter hitting a double in the second spot?
I don't see
nothing wrong with that.
You couldn't be more right. And the reality of it is, that's why my pick is A.J. Pollock. He does it all. We're winding it down here, and, of course, we do not want to miss our opportunity, as this show is a tribute to Cardinal history as well. Guys, I found this, and I thought it was appropriate. It's kind of interesting how this is going to start, so bear with me through this. On October 10th, okay, guys, in 2009, and that year should ring a bell a little bit, the Cardinals that year, in an effort to make a push, had traded for Matt Holliday. If you guys remember that time frame, we had all talked about we need somebody to hit behind Albert, and we need this, we need that. So they went out and got it done, and they got Holliday. And if you guys remember, he come over here and hit the cover off the ball. I want to say he hit like 400 or something like that after the trade. It was unbelievable how well this guy hit. Well, Cardinal Nation was all aware that the Cardinals were getting ready to even up that series against LA, and he unfortunately had a misplay in left field that seemed to be a fairly easy play. In a true Cardinal Nation fashion, on October 10th, in Matt Holliday's first at bat at home after his critical error allowed LA to stage an amazing comeback victory, the Cardinal left fielder received a standing ovation from a sellout crowd of 47,296 people. Now, we all know, and the rest is history, as they say, and, of course, in what we were proud of as Cardinal fans, he was a free agent. He was courted by other teams, and he decided to stay here. Now, it's real easy to say, well, yeah, he stayed here. They gave him $17 million. But the reality of it is, free agency, whether we like it or not, is a big point in a player's life. He was traded here. He chose to stay here. We like to believe that we as Cardinal fans play a role in that. Do you guys think that standing ovation after that happens really plays with a man like that?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what they talk about, the whispers around the league or whatever it is, and that we take pride in, because we hear them out of commentators and former players about how special it is to play in baseball heaven. Right?
Right.
Greatest fans in baseball, all that, best fans in baseball stuff that you hate to even repeat. But I think it plays a huge part in, the appreciation that we have as fans for our players, and that everybody rallies behind them and go, you know what? Hey, at the end of the day, this guy came over and he put a lot in, made a big push for our 2009 season, and that outweighs one thing. If he's in Philly, he's got a battery thrown at him. You just saw what happened in Toronto, how those fans, you know, start throwing crap on the field, right? So, in St. Louis, boy, why wouldn't you want to play here in front of 47,000?
Yeah, it would seem like it's got to make some kind of difference. I mean, he like you'd said, he'd hit the ball so well when he came over here that he'd have probably got $17 million from someone else and still chose to stay here.
Yeah.
So it probably has an impact. I mean, it's hard to
– I mean, you can't go back in time. You can't. I mean, you can't go back in time, but you can't imagine that, you know, Benji was honest about it. I think we're all honest about it. I think Cardinal fans honest. We are spoiled. We're absolutely spoiled. So here's this guy who comes over. And we're down 1-0, but we got this game in our back pocket, and we're coming home. We're going to come home tied 1-1, right? And, you know, he misses basically a ball right at him. Okay, lights, knuckle, whatever. Listen, we all played to some level in this room. The game is always much easier between the lines than it is in the stands, for sure.
I've never missed a ball in the fourth row.
That's right.
Me.
So my point is that if he comes back here and Cardinal Nation is pissed – and boo his ass off when he comes up to the plate because, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, does he sit there in the offseason, he's weighing offers going, heck with that, I ain't going there. Or does he sit here and go, you know what, these people supported me when I was down and out, and you know what, I'm going to go back. And I think he even kind of – I think I remember seeing some things where he was like, you know, I want people to see what I can do and this and that, and I do feel bad about – but so, you know, kudos to him. But, again, I just brought it up today, not because – you know, it obviously was a good and bad thing, but the reality of it is – and then we did talk about it at length on Monday, and rightfully so. He deserves to be saluted. He deserves to be thanked for sure for his time here. He was not only was he a good player, I think he earned his money in a day and age where we look at that.
I think that's the point, Jimmy, because this isn't Philadelphia. We don't boo Santa Claus.
That's right.
Number one. Number two is if he had been the type of player that we as fans felt like there was a lack of effort, not just in that one particular play, but in general. He probably would not have received that standing O.
That's right.
We recognize that, hey, the guy made a mistake, but he plays hard. His approach to the game is right. He comes every day prepared to play. You know, how are you going to boo the guy, really? He's given him what he got, and hell, who ain't dropped a fly ball? I dropped a couple.
Yeah, why are you looking at me, man? I was going to tell Yachty in 40 or Benji in 40-0 man ball, man. We call that a healthy scratch when you take a day off.
Yeah, well, you know? Benji, you know how he feels about that. Yeah. That Milena family don't like those days off. He uses this all the time, those quote-unquote flu-like symptoms. He doesn't like that at all. So, hey, guys, we're about to wrap it up here. You know, enjoy playoff baseball. I know our Cardinals aren't in there, but it's still the greatest game on the planet. It's why we're here. It's why we do what we do each and every week. I can't thank you guys enough. Don't forget, too, that we are up and running full steam ahead. You can catch up on back episodes at twobirdsonabat.com. When you guys get there, if you really want to show some support to the show currently now, thank you to the Molina family. There's two ways to show support to the show. The first off, obviously, like we said, Benji will be coming to you each and every week on the M4 hotline. Make sure you support Yachty and what he's trying to do. Yeah, it's fun and it's a project for him, but a portion of the money does go to all of his endeavors when it comes to both supporting kids and family and the people back home and all that kind of stuff. So make sure you check that out. That's M4, and that's the number 4, so m4byyachty.com. The other way is to show our show a little bit of love. Shopping on the internet is such a big thing these days. Everybody and their brother, I guarantee you, gets on Amazon at one time or another. If you really want to help us, and we would greatly appreciate it, when you're going to do that shopping, start off at twobirdsonabat.com. Find that little Amazon banner. I think you scroll down a little bit, it'll be on the right. Once you click that, go in and do your shopping. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to do anything other than do what you would normally do. We get a very small referral back that kind of helps us keep the show rolling. So
now we're going to have a banner on the website for the M4.
Yeah, we'll have all that. Now that's going to take a little time. Yeah. Now, as you heard, again, we do want to thank them for bringing Benji in here each and every week. Benji's going to get us in contact with the M4 people. So it's going to take a little bit of time. And we want to do this. I mean, Benji's always going to be a ball player at heart, and even though he's not playing currently, he still does a lot of things during the season because people are always asking for his time, whether it's the Spanish broadcast, guys like us. He's doing all kinds of stuff. He still leaves for 2 weeks at a time and goes and works with players, you know, organizations ask him to do that. And he's like any ball player. This time of year, if you're not in the playoffs, you throw your family in an RV and you take them on vacation for a couple weeks and make up for the time you missed. So we're going to let Benji do that. And then when he gets back, by the time he gets back, we'll get all this rolling. But until that time, Just very simply hit the old Google machine. I always tell you it takes 15 seconds. M, the number 4, buyyachty.com and check it out.
And if you're like me, when you wear stuff, you either want to have a traditional side where it's the, you know, the red cap, the red bill, everything, or you want to stand out. And if you want to stand out in St. Louis, the M4 hats, man, they look sharp.
How would our man Fish look in
some
of this apparel?
You know, I was just thinking that. Because
he'd look like Elmer Fudd.
I'm going to...
Whoa, I think you're in trouble.
I was just about to say, I'm going to look good in that stuff because I'm going to give me some M4 stuff.
Oh, it, without
I'm
a doubt.
Look good.
You're not a loud guy, Fish. Just those colorful. It is exciting. Well, it is interesting, and it is awesome. But I'm telling you,
my boy,
we're going to get you. I think Fish look good in that lime green and black one. I think
that's the one I wanted.
That's all Fish right there. You're more of a off. I like that orange and cream one for you. I think that'll be good for you.
You got nice hair, Steve. Yeah. You covered up anyway. I got to cover this melon up.
Hey, listen, guys, thanks for being with us again this week. Starting next week, obviously, with the Cardinals being out, we're going to take the show to once a week just through the winter break. Look for us, like I said, the easiest way. Don't forget, just subscribe. It's simple. You just go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet where you find them. You click the subscribe button. It is free. I tell everybody that asks, like, we get stuff all the time. Hey, you know, I'm not real savvy. I don't know really. It's the simplest way I can tell you to do it is just go to twobirdsonabat.com. You'll see it. If you're on a computer, you'll see it right there to your right. Click on whatever mobile device you have, and it'll walk you through. It'll get you to where you need to go. If you're on your iPhone or you're on your phone, you got to scroll to the bottom. But if you just touch whatever it is you need to do, it'll help you. So
I like going just on your iPhone. Everybody's got a smartphone. You got a little podcast app on there that comes standard. Go there, search Two Birds on a Bat. It pops up. You'll see our great logo. Another behind-the-scenes person here that does our logos, our graphic design.
Deb, she does a great job. Deb, what a great logo. Love our logo.
So just pop on that. Hit subscribe on there. It'll pop in. Every time you got a new one that pops out, it'll say unlistened podcast. Play it, and you're golden.
Hey, I tell you what, my goal is by next Friday, and as I said, I challenged all of our listeners out there to get on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show, private message us behind there on Twitter. My goal is to have our first guest on the show next week, just an everyday Cardinal fan like us that wants to get on here and basically talk a little Cardinal baseball with us for about 10 minutes. But really, more than anything, we want to hear a couple things. We want to hear what you want to do, okay, and what you think. It's very simple, not hard to do. I've had a couple of people go, man, I'd really like to do this, but I don't know that I'd be very good at it. Hey, listen, ain't a guy in this room.
We ain't either.
Yeah, I mean, come on, we're just, you know, the bottom line is somebody stuck a microphone in front of our face. Otherwise, we're just like you. So we're going to give you that opportunity. So don't forget to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com, or check us out on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, Facebook is always a great way, okay? Facebook.com, twobirdsonabat. For Fish, for Steve-O, for Jimbo, and for Benji Molina, thanks to our producer, Brian. This is Two Birds on a Bat. We will see you next week.
Go Birds.
Thanks for listening.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.